Welcome aboard the USS Little Hero, NCC 731-17. I'm Captain William.
And I'm Commander Vicky.
And if you will step right this way, historians, we will go to Holodeck 3, where you will learn the next step in the history of Starfleet with the NCC 1701 Enterprise and the adventures of Captain Kirk and his faithful crew. Vicky, can you take us to the coordinates where we're supposed to be for this?
Aye, aye, Captain.
Adventures into Star Trek! I'm William.
And I'm Vicky.
And today we are doing Season 2, Episode 14? Or are we on 15?
I'm on the ball today. 14.
I was right the first time. 14. Wolf in the Fold. Or wait, it was... Yeah, Wolf in the Fold, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was right. Okay. Vicky has me all confused. Last week she was sick. That's why we were not here. We are so sorry. There's not much I can do about her being sick. So, Vicky, would you like to tell everybody where they can find us?
Podcast Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Republic Radio, Stitcher, Amazon Music. Anchor!
And Apple Podcasts.
Oh, and Spotify, sorry. Told you I wasn't on the ball.
Are you ever on the ball?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. So, Vicky, would you like to tell everybody what you think about, or what you think is going to happen in this episode? Season 2, Episode 14, Wolf in the Fold.
But that they made a human. Not what it appears to be. Kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Boy, are you fooled. Boy, sometimes I wish I knew that. So, no, it says here, Scott is suspected of killing several women while on shore leave on Argyllus 2. However, a more similar sinister force may provide a connection between this murder and many previous around the galaxy, including a rampage on ancient Earth. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
We have no clue other than she's the daughter of one of the people on the band.
Yeah.
see if I can find anything here. Prefect Jarvis, his wife Sobel. It just says Argelian women.
Okay.
Let me see here if I pull it up, if it gives me any name for it.
Just throwing something out there, folks. Has nothing to do with the podcast. If you like Dr. Pepper, get Dr. Pepper.
We are not sponsored by anybody. Please stop throwing names around like that.
I'm just telling them it's delicious. It's dark berry.
Well, it says here, I believe her name is Kara, K-A-R-A.
Okay.
You know, she was a belly dancer on Argelia. She was an Argelian, you know.
Right.
All I know.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna like Argelius.
Obviously a man of good taste.
You mean to tell me that all these women, well, that all this is...
Yes. Mm. The Argelians think very highly of their pleasure.
Well, now that's an understatement if I ever heard one. This is a completely hedonistic society.
Scotty?
Aye. Why shouldn't I?
Good. I've invited her to join us at the table. I thought you might like to meet her.
Now that's what I call a real captain. Always thinking of his men.
Argelia, they use the lights.
Now, no one has to tell an old Aberdeen pub crawler how to applaud, Captain.
So, Scotty's banging on the table with one hand, and on Argelius, they use the lights to signal applause. So, they're on Argelius 2, which is an inhabited second world of the Argelius system, and the Beta Quadrant. And it was a homeworld of the humanoid species known as the Argelians. It says this planet was located over 100 light years from the Jewel Star Stellar Cluster. So there's that for you. Now, just so you guys know, if it's quiet in the beginning of the episode, that's because I did not know that Vicky's mic and the mic for the TV was muted. So that's my fault. I should have double-checked that.
Gee, I wonder who muted those.
Well, it was the cats walking across the mixer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Have one of my pillows?
It is a fine foggy night tonight, and I doubt if anyone has ever told you of the marvelous fogs we have in Aberdeen.
Never a word. But I'm dying to learn.
Well, then why don't I show you? There's nothing like a walk in the fog with a bonny lass.
Or a handsome gentleman. Why don't we?
You don't mind, do you? I might even get back to the ship on time.
We won't leave without you, Scotty. Relax and enjoy yourself. My work is never done.
My work, Jim. This is prescription stuff. Don't forget, the explosion that threw Scotty against the bulkhead was caused by a woman.
Physically, he's all right. Am I right in assuming that?
Oh, yes, yes. And matter of fact, considerable psychological damage could have been caused. For example, his total resentment toward women.
He seems to be overcoming his resentment.
Of course, in my professional opinion, when he gets back to the ship, he's going to hate you for making him leave Orgelius. But then he will have lost total resentment toward women.
Mission accomplished as far as Scotty is concerned. Bones, I know a little place across town where the women...
Oh, yes, I know the place. I know the place. Let's go.
Therapeutic shore leave, Mr. Scott has fallen under suspicion of having brutally murdered an Argelian woman. The chief city administrator, Mr. Hengist.
I love Mr. Hengist because he's so stupid. Well, he's really not helping in the case. In the long run, to be honest.
Not really. No.
He's not the Sherlock Holmes like Data we wish he was.
Not the brightest brain in the box.
Regardless, it says here that Mr. Hengist is a native to Rigel 6, or 4, one of the two, was a chief city administrator on Argelius 2 when a serious number of murders took place there in 2267. He accused Montgomery Scott of committing the crimes. In reality, I will leave that till we get to there later. But Rigel 7, or 4, or whatever number it is, I can't read Roman numerals half the time, was an inhabited fourth planet of the Rigel system in the Alpha Quadrant. It was home to the Rigel 4 natives, including the Hill people, and had deposits of borium and muronite, whatever that is.
Has taken charge of the investigation, but has learned little of value.
I don't know what to say, gentlemen. Argelius is the last planet in the galaxy. I'd expect a thing like this to happen.
We're just as shocked as you are, Mr. Angus.
This is my home planet, Rigel 4. I'd have a dozen investigators working on the matter. But they don't exist here.
You're not a native of Argelius, sir.
Oh, no, no, no. Argelius hires its administrative officers from other planets. The Argelians aren't very efficient, you know. Gentle, harmless people. Mr. Scott? Now, are you sure you've never seen this before?
I don't remember.
Really, sir, that is hardly helpful.
Scotty, you left the cafe with the girl. Do you remember that? What happened next?
We were walking out. The fog. I was up ahead, trying to lead the way. I heard the girl scream.
I remember starting to turn. I don't remember another thing.
Scotty, you've got to
remember. Another thing.
Jim. If he says he can't remember, he probably doesn't. You know, Scotty.
I know that a murder has been committed.
You don't think by any chance that Scotty
doesn't make any difference what I think.
But you don't just throw him to the wolves.
Bones, I have a diplomatic responsibility. This happened under Argelian jurisdiction. If they want to arrest him, try him, even convict him, I have to go along with it.
But he's suffering from a severe concussion.
We'll do what we can.
It's not promising, Captain. Mr. Scott insists he remembers nothing. But my detector readings indicate that only his fingerprints are in the murder weapon.
Yes, Mr. Hingis, there were other people in the cafe about the time of the murder. Several of them left just before Mr. Scott and the girl did.
So I've been informed by the staff. They're being located, and we will question them. But the outlook for your friend is quite grim.
What is the law in these cases?
The law of Argelius is love.
Gentlemen, our prefect, Jarvis. Sir, Captain Kirk, Dr. McCoy.
And this is my wife, Sebo.
And this man is Scott, the one I sent you the message about?
He does not look like a man capable of such an act. Still, it's been so long. Gentlemen, before our great awakening 200 years ago, we had ways of learning the truth in such matters. We shall return to them.
The Argelian empathic contact.
You know of this?
So it's never really explained what it is. So it says here the Argelian empathic contact was a form of nonverbal communication that was conducted directly from the mind of others, alive or deceased, by the use of Argelians with special species of native to the planet, Argelius II. In 2267, the crew of the Starship Enterprise visited Argelius II for Montgomery Scott's medical leave. When several women were murdered, Officer Scott was the main suspect. So, the highest official on the planet, Prefect Jarvis, who we just met, and his wife, Sabo, who we just met as well, performed the Argelian empathic contact to probe Scott's mind and see what she could find out about the murders. I'm giving you.
Yes, we've heard of it.
That's it?
I assume it was a lost art.
That's all I get. Okay.
My wife is a descendant of the ancient priestesses of our land. She has the ancestral gift. Gentlemen, I have come to invite you to my home.
Prefect, don't you think this should be handled in an official manner through my office?
It shall be handled in an official manner, Mr. Hingist, since I am the highest official. Gentlemen, let us proceed to my home, where, with the aid of my wife, we shall learn the truth.
Please. Depending on your wife's empathic ability is all very well, Prefect. There's only one way we can find out what it is Mr. Scott cannot remember. Since you find it impossible to let us go back up to our ship, I can beam down a technician with a psychotricorder.
Now, Prefect, it won't give us a detailed account of everything that's happened to Mr. Scott in the last 24 hours.
Oh, I'd advise against it, Prefect. This is purely an Argelian matter.
My wife must meditate for a time before she is ready. I see no reason why we should not use that time to good advantage. Very well, Captain.
Kirk Enterprise.
So the Psycho Tricorder was a Starfleet tricorder specifically programmed for a psychologist's use to analyze a patient. This version of the tricorder scans specific brainwave patterns during questioning of the patient and was helpful in diagnosing and treatment of mental ailments and disorders. It may have possessed a hypnotic assistance subroutine, as well as subroutines for lie detection and amnesia analysis. The device was normally operated by a medical technician, while the attendant psychologist directed the patient.
Enterprise, Spock here.
I knew what it was, but
Mr. Spock, beam down a technician with a psycho tricorder, please. Use these coordinates. Acknowledged. Coordinates received.
Kirk on.
Prefect, the psycho tricorder will require privacy in order to be effective.
There is a small chamber below this room. Perhaps that will suffice. Captain, news of this frightful murder is spreading among my people. They're greatly disturbed. I have already heard talk of closing Argelius to space vehicles.
Well, that would be most unfortunate. Argelian hospitality is well known, as well as its strategic importance as a spaceport.
Yes, I believe it's the only one in the quadrant. Captain?
Are there other people we should question? Perhaps I should go expedite their arrival here?
Yes, please do so, Mr. Hengist. Anyone with any connection with this murder should be present at the ceremony.
Tracy, reporting as ordered, Captain.
Lieutenant, I want a 24-hour regressive memory check made on Mr. Scott.
Yes, Captain. Where shall I set up?
You will just follow me, Lieutenant. Sonny, cooperate completely with Lieutenant Tracy. Maybe we can clear this thing up.
I certainly hope so, sir. I can't stand this not knowing.
Under normal conditions, Scotty would have never done such a thing.
That blow on the head. It could put all his previous behavior patterns into the junk heap.
Of course, there's another possibility. Hysterical amnesia. When a man feels guilty about something, something too terrible to remember, he blots it out of his conscious memory. Ready, Sipo?
I am ready. May I have the knife, please?
Certainly. Among other gifts, Sipo has the ability to receive impressions from inanimate objects. Do you have it, Captain?
The knife?
No. But I had put it here when we arrived. It's gone.
Dead, John. Just like the other one.
Stabbed. Over and over again.
Drink this.
An Argelian stimulant, Doctor. Quite effective. And quite harmless.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Lieutenant. Captain. Where's...
Lieutenant Tracy is dead, Scott. You were found alone in the room.
Dead? But I...
What happened down there?
I was... sitting there. She was taking the readings. And now I'm sitting here.
Is that all that happened?
I tell you, I don't remember. I must have passed out.
It could be, Jim, that head injury.
That head injury. Think, Scotty.
Captain, I've been trying. I can't even believe this is really happening.
No way into that place from up here. Prefect, is there another entrance to that chamber?
Yes, there's a door that leads into the garden that's been locked for years. Locks can be picked, Jim.
Check it.
Prefect, both of these men were at the cafe the night of the murder.
Where have they been during the past few minutes?
Captain, if you don't mind, please.
There's been another murder, Hengist. One of my crew.
The same as Cutter.
Why, that's terrible. You, my men picked you up near here. What were you doing?
Please, I know nothing about it. I didn't kill anyone.
Well, how was the girl killed?
Stabbed. And there's no sign of the weapon.
If only I had facility.
You! You were a musician at the cafe. You played for the murdered girl.
Since she was a little girl, she danced for me. She was my daughter. Prefect, how could a thing like this have happened here? The man who did it must be found. He must be punished.
And you? You left the cafe before Scott and Karen.
Is this true? Who are you?
Morla of Cantaba Street, Prefect. I was there. I have nothing to hide. Did you know Karen?
Of course he knew her. They were to be married. But he behaved disgraceful. Unheard of. He was jealous of her.
That is very disquieting.
I know it was wrong, Prefect, but I just couldn't help myself. I loved her. And when she went over to the table with these men, I just could not stand to watch, so I left. I went home. Jealousy has often been a motive for murder.
Yes, I know. That is why the emotion is so strongly disapproved of here.
Prefect, I didn't kill anyone. I couldn't.
We shall see, Morla.
Sorry, Jim. The lock may or may not have been picked. It'd be hard to tell, even with the tricorder.
Can you prove you went directly home?
Captain, may I continue with the questions, please?
Well, get on with it, man. Just don't stand there.
Captain, you are behaving very much like a man who is desperately trying anything to save his friend. Would you be as desperate to save Argelius as a spaceport for your Starfleet?
Well, of course I'm trying to save my friend. If he's innocent, and he hasn't been proven guilty.
Need I remind you of the circumstances, Captain? In both cases, your friend Scott was discovered over the body, and later claimed to remember nothing.
I am ready, Joris.
Gentlemen, sit down, please.
On one condition, Prefect, that the room be sealed so that no one can leave or enter while the ceremony is going on.
Captain, do you mean my neck is going to have to depend on some spooky mumbo-jumbo?
Kirk here.
Spock here, Captain. May I have a word with you?
Yeah. Excuse me, gentlemen. Yes, Spock.
Concerning the situation you related to us, in my opinion, the Argelian empathic contact is an interesting phenomenon. But the technique is not sound enough to risk a man's life.
What do you suggest, Mr. Spock?
Simply that we beam Mr. Scott on board the Enterprise and employ our computers to learn the truth.
These are proud people. They have their own customs, their own laws. And while we're here, we're subject to them. It is absolutely imperative this matter be resolved according to Argelian law. Is that clear?
Quite clear, Captain.
I don't like it any more than you do, Spock. But there's nothing we can do about it. Kirk out.
Let us begin. Let the circle not be broken. Concentrate upon the flame which burns upon the altar of truth. Yes, there is something here. Something terrible. I feel its presence. Fear. Anger, hatred. Anger feeds the flame. Oh, there is evil here. Monstrous, terrible evil. Consuming hunger. Hatred of all that lives.
hatred of women, a hunger that never dies. It is strong, overpowering, an ancient terror. It has a name, Varadis Kesla, Rejek.
So Rejek, also known as Red Jack.
Right.
Okay. I know and you now. Was a non-humanoid life form that existed in four centuries by journeying from planet to planet and feeding on the pain and fear it caused by committing mass murders.
Barring our life, a hunger that will never die. Rejek! Rejek!
Three murders. And Scotty, the only possible answer each time.
I don't care what the circumstances indicate, Jim. Scotty simply could not have done it.
Normally, no. But that blow on his head could...
No, Captain.
Scotty, I'm sorry. You don't even remember whether you did it or not.
I agree with you, Captain. I'm perfectly satisfied Mr. Scott is guilty.
But not responsible.
That is unproven, sir.
We can prove it, if he's insane.
Gentlemen! Please. How could any man do such monstrous things?
That's what we hope to find out, sir.
Mr. Scott.
Sir, I swear to you, I did not kill your wife or the other ladies.
By your own admission, you don't know whether you did or didn't. Your so-called failing memory...
Mr. Hengist, on the Enterprise, we can make a recording of the registrations of Mr. Scott's conscious and subconscious mind. And they will tell us what happened to him in the recent past.
There would be no room for doubt. We would know. And after all, that's what we're after, isn't it, Prefect? To know.
You, sir, claim to remember nothing about the murders.
Aye.
If this is so, you may have killed without knowing it. Will your machines tell us this?
No doubt will remain.
Very well. We will go to your ship. And he who is guilty will face the ancient penalties, barbaric and horrible though they may be. The ancient penalty for murder was death by slow torture. That law has never been changed. Do you understand that, Mr. Scott?
I understand.
Captain's log, stardate 3615.4. With Mr. Scott in a technical state of arrest, we have beamed aboard the Enterprise to continue the investigation. Each testifier will sit here, place his hand on this plate. Any deviation from the factual truth will be immediately detected and relayed to this computer, which will in turn notify us. Dr. McCoy has already fed the computer his medical reports. Our laboratory experts are examining the murder weapon and will give their data to the computers for analysis. Shall we begin? Mr. Scott, you take the stand. Computer, identify verification.
Working. Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott. Serial number SE197514. Verified.
Subject's present physical condition.
Working. Subject recently received severe blow on skull. Damage healing. Some peripheral abnormalities.
Sufficient abnormalities to account for periods of functional amnesia.
Working. Negative.
Captain, I don't see how that can be.
Unless Scotty's lying about his loss of memory.
I'm not lying, Captain. I don't remember a thing about the first two murders.
Computer, accuracy scan.
Subject recently saying accurate account. No physiological changes.
Captain, I didn't black out when Mr. Jarrah's wife was killed.
All right, Scotty. Let's have it.
We were holding hands. When the lights went out, the circle was broken. I heard the poor lady scream, and I was near the head of the table anyway. I went toward her, but there was something in my way.
Something? You mean someone?
No, Captain. Some thing. Cold it was, like a stinking draft out of a slaughterhouse, but it wasn't really there. Like a... if you know what I mean.
Computer.
Subject relaying accurate account. No physiological changes.
All right. Let's hit it on the head. Scotty, did you kill Sebo?
No, Captain. That I'm sure of.
He's been saying that right along. It means no more now than it did before.
Scotty, lie to me. How old are you?
22, sir.
Inaccurate. Data in error.
After the lights went out, Mr. Scott, who was holding your hand?
Mora on the one side and you on the other, sir.
But that doesn't mean anything, Captain. With a room that small, the lights were out. Anyone would have had time to kill the lady. But I remind you, we found Mr. Scott holding her in his arms. The knife... I'm sorry, sir, but I must. The knife still in her back and blood on his hands.
The verifier showed that he was telling the truth when he said he didn't kill her.
There were two other women murdered.
Mr. Scott. Did you kill Tara?
I don't remember.
Did you kill Lieutenant Tracy?
I don't remember.
Computer, accuracy scan.
Subject relaying accurate account. No physiological changes.
All that proves is that he's telling the truth when he says he doesn't remember.
This is a waste of time.
After we take the testimony here, we'll run a psycho-tricorder analysis of Mr. Scott's memory, which is what we wanted to do on the surface. That will give us a complete record. Will that satisfy you, Mr. Hengett?
Well, if you can convince me that the machine is incapable of error, and if it shows he did not kill the women.
There will be no error. As for the rest of it, the readings will show. I think you can step down now, Mr. Scott, if there are no objections.
I object to the entire procedure.
Mr. Hengus, we are here on my authority. We will cooperate.
Prefect, I know you mean well, but I've had experience
with
this...
For the time being, we will accept Captain Kirk's explanation of the machine's accuracy as factual. I do, however, reserve to myself the right to make the final determination.
We can ask no more. Mr. Morlow, will you take the stand? Where were you at the time that Kara was murdered?
I'm not sure. Walking home, I assume I was angry.
Anger is a relative state, sir. Were you angry enough to do violence?
I've never done violence in my life. I don't think that I could.
You've got to believe me. I wouldn't kill her. I couldn't. I loved her. And she loved me.
That's not true. He might think she loved him, but she didn't. She told me he was jealous. All the time, they fought constantly.
Did you kill Lieutenant Tracy?
No.
Did you kill Sebo?
No.
Computer verification scan.
Subject relaying accurate account. No subtle statement is objective. No physiological changes.
All right, Mr. Marla, I think you can step down now. Sebo spoke of a hunger that never died, something that thrived. Fear. Terror.
Death.
Mr. Spock, maybe we're going about it the wrong way. Let's assume that Sebo was a sensitive, that she did sense something evil.
The sensitivity of certain Argelian women is a documented fact, Captain.
My poor Sibo's talent was genuine, gentlemen. What she told you was true.
All right, then. What was it she said exactly? Monstrous evil, ancient terror?
That devours all life and light.
She said something else, words that didn't make any sense.
Yes. Regic, Baratus, and, Keslak.
Obscure, meaningless words.
To us, perhaps, but to the computer.
Ah, Mr. Spock, check them out.
Computer, linguistic bank. Definition of following word. Regic.
Working. Negative binding.
There is no such word in the linguistics bank.
Affirmative.
Scan all other banks.
Working. Affirmative. A proper name.
Fine.
Regic. Source. Earth. 19th century. Language. English. Nickname for mass murderer of women. Other Earth synonym. Jack the Ripper.
Bum, 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 bum.
Jack the Ripper.
So to this day, nobody knows who Jack the Ripper actually was.
No.
It could have been a woman. It could have been a man. It could have been a doctor. It could have been a midwife. It could have been a butcher, a baker, a candlestick man. We don't know.
Nope.
That's ridiculous. He lived hundreds of years ago.
A man couldn't survive all these centuries.
Just before she died, my wife said, "It is a hunger that never dies."
But all men die.
Yes, all men die, and Jack the Ripper couldn't be alive if he were a man. But everything we've uncovered points to Jack the Ripper, which is an impossibility, isn't it? Or is it?
Humans and humanoids make up only a small percentage of the life forms we know of. There are entities possessed of extremely long lifespans, virtually immortal.
We know that someone or something killed three women. If it's impossible for it to be human, it has to be something else, something driven to kill.
But Sibo said that it feeds on death.
In the strict scientific sense, Doctor, we all feed on death. Even vegetarians.
Yes, but it said more than that. Not just death, but fear. It said it also feeds on fear.
Which would tend to support the proposition that the murderer was not human. Deriving sustenance from emotion is not unknown in the galaxy. And fear is among the strongest and most violent of the emotions.
Surely, Prefect, this has gone far enough. Someone, some man has killed three women. We have the prime suspect in our hands. Are we going to let him go and start chasing ghosts?
No. James, not ghosts. Possibly not human, but not ghosts. Mr. Spock, check out the possibilities.
Computer, digest log recordings for past 5 solar minutes. Correlate hypotheses. Compare with life forms register. Question, could such an entity within discussed limits exist in this galaxy?
The Drella of Alpha Carina 5 derived nourishment from the emotion of love. There is sufficient precedent for existence of creature, nature unknown, which could exist on emotion of fear.
Computer, extrapolate most likely composition of such entity.
Working to meet with specified requirements, entity would exist without form in conventional sense. Most probable, mass of energy, a highly cohesive electromagnetic field.
Computer, could the described entity assume physical form?
Affirmative, precedent. Miletus, cloud creature of Alpha Majoris. One.
Fairy tales, ghosts and goblins.
No, I've seen the Miletus myself. In its natural state, it's gaseous. When it's at rest, it's solid. Mr. Spock,
Let's assume the existence of this creature.
I point out that Jack the Ripper slew at will in the heart of the most populous city of Old Earth.
That's right.
And was never identified.
Doesn't seem likely, does it?
I suggest the possibility...
Again, that's another thing. They don't know if it was at will or if there was a connection between these people.
Correct.
You know, to this day they still don't know.
Right.
Buddy, of a hypnotic screen, which blinds all but the victim to the presence of the killer.
Is that possible? Extremely possible. There are many such examples that exist in nature.
Well, this is fantasy. We all know the murderer is sitting right here with us. I mean, you're trying to cloud the issue. I've got a mind of...
I am satisfied the course of this investigation is valid enough. Please be seated, Mr. Hengist.
All right, Mr. Spark, what do we have?
Mr. Hengist is about to get his butt kicked.
Creature without form. Feeds on horror and fear. That must assume a physical shape to kill.
And I suspect preys on women because women are more easily and more deeply terrified, generating more sheer horror than the male of the species.
Except
computer,
does...
criminological files.
He's got no emotion.
Case it.
Say that again.
Spock doesn't feel horror or fear. He has no emotion.
Wrong.
No.
He has them. They're just suppressed. Remember the one Vulcan in Enterprise, the... Grand Poobah that said peace and long life to Captain Kirk, or Captain Archer.
Yeah.
He stated that the Vulcans have emotions, they're just suppressed.
No feelings.
Of unsolved mass murders of women since Jack the Ripper.
Working, 1932, Shanghai, China, Earth, 7 women.
Saval, that was his name.
Right.
Ambassador to Saval.
92 deaths. 1974, Kiev, USSR, Earth, 5 women, knifed to death, 2105, Martian colony, 8 women, knifed to death, 2156, Heliopolis, Alpha Eridani 2, 10 women, knifed to death. There are additional examples.
Captain, those places are aligned directly between Argelius and Earth.
Yes. When man moved out into the galaxy, that thing must have moved with him. Computer, identify the proper names Kessler and Baratus.
Working. Kessler, name given to unidentified mass murderer of women on planet Venom 2. Baratus, name given to unidentified mass murderer of women on planet Rigel 4. Additional data. Murders on Rigel 4 occurred 1 solar year ago.
You come from Rigel 4.
Well, many people do. It's not a crime.
No, but what we're investigating is. Would you mind taking the stand, Mr. Hengist?
Oh, I will not.
Mr. Hengist.
Prefect, this has gone far enough. I will not take the stand.
Mr. Hengist.
I can appreciate your position, sir. You are in charge of civil disturbances locally. If you are the entity for which we search, what better position from which to kill with impunity?
Just after you left Jarrus's house, we discovered the murder knife was missing.
And you were unaccounted for when Lieutenant Tracy was murdered.
An entity which feeds on fear and terror would find a perfect hunting ground on Argelius, a planet without violence, where the inhabitants are as peaceful as sheep. The entity would be as a hungry wolf in that fold.
Gentlemen, I know something of the law. You're engaging in sheer speculation.
Perhaps. Mr. Spock. The murder weapon.
Computer, report on analysis of Exhibit A.
Working. Exhibit A on visual. Composition of blade, boridium. Composition of handle, muronite. Details of carving on handle conform to folk art form, indicating place of origin.
Specify point of origin.
Artifact produced by hill people of Argus River region, planet Rigel 4.
Now
about Mr. Hengist.
He's dead, Jeff.
But that's impossible.
Computer will not respond to these controls. The entity is unquestionably controlling it.
And the computer controls the ship.
Audio cut off, Spock.
Captain.
What's happening, Captain?
What does it mean?
It means that thing can control the entire operation of the ship, including the life support systems.
You mean it could kill us all?
Indeed it will try, but not immediately. We know it feeds on fear and terror. There are nearly 440 humans aboard this ship. Surely it will try to breed fear and terror before it kills.
All hands, this is the captain. Stay at your posts. Remain calm. Captain out.
Holmes, what's the sedative situation?
Well, I've got some stuff that would tranquilize an active volcano.
That's some powerful stuff.
Start distribution immediately. The longer we can hold back that fear, the more time we'll have to get that thing out of the computer. Prefect, you'll all be safer here.
Spock, come with me.
Spock, don't you have a compulsory scan unit built into the computer banks?
Yes, we do, Captain, but with the entity in control.
Well, aren't there certain mathematical problems which simply cannot be solved?
Indeed. If we could focus the attention of the computer on one of them.
That ought to do it. Spock!
Apparently, our friends learn very quickly.
Too quickly. Bridge.
3-4.
Out of control. Put it on manual.
So this is something I figured out a while ago. Those little handles they always hold on to. It's not only to activate the turbo lift, it's also in case of free fall, they can push a couple buttons and then twist it and that activates the brakes.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what Kirk was doing right there.
Due to be next. Life support malfunction.
We don't have much time, Captain.
Well, you said yourself, Spock. It wants terror, not just death. Captain, the life support system override jammed.
All right. Man your station, Mr. Sue.
Aye, sir.
Captain, Captain, you're wasting your time.
Cut that thing off.
You and all aboard your ship are about to die.
Try and cut that thing off. This is the first time I heard a malfunction threaten us.
Man your post, Mr. Sulu. Prepare your manual overrides. You may need them.
I see.
Spock.
Normal environmental levels have been restored, Captain, but it will not last long. A few hours at best.
That should be enough time. Let's get at it. What's going on, Captain?
Never mind. Tranquilizer?
Yes, sir.
Everyone, including yourself.
Yes, sir.
You cannot stop me now, Captain. It'll be no good. I control all circuits. You cannot silence me. You cannot reach me. Your manual overrides are extremely limited in life.
Spock. Proceeding, Captain, but I will need some time.
Yes, I know.
Soon all control will be restored to me.
There is nothing you can do to prevent it.
If you destroy the ship, you destroy yourself.
I am without ending. I have existed from the dawn of time, and I shall live beyond its end.
I shall feed, and this time I do not need a knife.
No.
In sin.
attempting to generate terror, Captain.
They cut off your oxygen and suffocate you.
Captain? Whoever he is, he sure talks gloomy.
On your post, sir. If any of the other systems go out, switch to manual override. And above all, don't be afraid.
With an arm full of this stuff, I wouldn't be afraid of a supernova.
Ready. Implement. Computer, this is a Class A compulsory directive. Compute to the last digit the value of pi.
No, 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 no!
As we know, the value of pi is a transcendental figure without resolution. The computer banks will work on this problem to the exclusion of all else until we order it to stop.
Yes, that should keep that thing busy for a while.
The Argelians will be the first to panic. Let's get back to the briefing room.
I wonder who it is we're not supposed to be afraid of.
Well, sir? I doubt very much whether the computers will be inhabited by more than a group of figures for a while.
There is resistance, Captain, but the directive is succeeding. Bank after bank is turning to the problem.
To drive it out of the computers, you'll just have to go somewhere else.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm almost finished, just Jarvis and me.
Complete computer control, Captain. The entity has fled.
Yes, but where to?
You'd be a little creepy, but sure.
Bones, what would happen if that thing entered a tranquilized body?
Well, it might take up knitting, nothing more violent.
And you say everyone's had a shot but you and Jarvis?
And you and Mr. Spark, Captain.
Well, I'm willing to take a chance on Mr. Spark. Better give yourself a shot, Doc.
No, I don't think so. I think I ought to stay clear.
Do as I say. Send your arms to Jarvis.
No, no, kill you all, die, make you suffer. Let anybody keep that, I'll kill him, I'll kill him, keep back.
Be careful, you're gonna hurt somebody with that thing.
You suffer, you
Let's get to the transporter room quick.
Die, die, die.
Please take the license ass.
Die. Kill, kill, kill you all.
Deep space. Full power. Widest angle of dispersion. Maintain.
Excited, Captain? I'll do it.
You do it, Spock.
Everybody
died. You didn't have to shove me, Mr. Spock. I'd have gotten round to it.
Well, Jarvis is all right.
And what did you do with that thing, Captain? You sent it back to the planet?
No, we beamed it out of the open space, Scotty. Widest possible dispersion.
Oh, the thing can't die.
Possibly, Doctor. Its consciousness may continue for some time, consisting of billions of separate bits of energy floating forever in space, powerless.
But it will die finally. You seem very happy about all that.
Well, why not? For a while then, I didn't know whether I was innocent or guilty.
Bones, how long will it take for this tranquilizer to wear off?
Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours. I gave him a pretty big shot, Jim.
Yes, I can see that.
Well, Mr. Spy, for the next 5 or 6 hours, we're going to have the happiest crew in space. Of course, we won't get much work done.
Captain, since you came to Argelius to rest, I suggest you take advantage of the opportunity.
That's a splendid idea, Mr. Spock.
I know a cafe where the women are so...
I know the place, Jim. Let's go see.
You gentlemen, on your condition, don't be ridiculous. Mr. Spock, this cafe has women that are so...
Well,
No, I guess not. Hmm? Gentlemen.
So, Vicky, that was season 2, episode 14, Wolf in the Hole. What do you think of that one?
I liked it.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put this bad boy?
I put this one at an 8.
An 8? Well, I'm going to have to go with a 7.5.
Okay.
So who do you think this episode hinged on?
Well, Scotty had to be the Argelians.
Argelians?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever his name was and his wife.
Hang on, I do have him here. Hang on.
Prefect.
Prefect Jarvis and Sabo.
Yes, them.
Okay.
Bones, Spock. Okay.
Mr. Hengist.
Okay.
The the Enterprise itself, because it got possessed by Red Jack.
Okay.
The anomalous creature named Red Jack.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, is there anything else that you noticed, saw? Maybe I didn't see it, but maybe you did?
No.
Okay. Well then, I guess until next time, I'm William.
And I'm Vicky.
And we'll catch you in the next mission.
Bye!